are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Okay, so who went to the Boxing Day sales? Come on, show me hands. How many went to the Boxing Day sales? Well, it's not that many. Some people telling untruths. They weren't that good, were they? They were good. Okay. Anyone get a bargain? Anyone get a really good bargain? Come on, raise your hand. What you get, Ken? What's that? A Dyson. Fantastic. Was it a hairdryer? As much as they are the Boxing Day sales or the Christmas time sales, they do remind me of stocktake sales being this time of year. At this time of the year, New Year's resolutions for some, or it's a time to take stock or reflect on what has been over the previous year or years and look forward to what is to come. It's important for us at different times in our lives to take a stock take and to have a look at what has been and what is to come. Now, there might be some here today and you're taking a need to take a bit of a stock take for all the money that you've spent over Christmas. Maybe spent too much. I was looking at our budget for this month and it got blown right out for Christmas presents. It's a kind of allowed to be blown out for Christmas presents, but you still look at it and go, man, what's it going to get to next year? Or for the Boxing Day sales, you might have blown the budget for the Boxing Day sales. For some here, as I look across the audience, for some of you, you might need to take a stock take of how much food you ate over the last few days. Not looking at anyone. I'm just looking at the ceiling, okay? So I'm not looking at you. But you might need to do that. You know, for others, you know, maybe like Matt Daly, they need to take a stock take of what team they barrack for in the AFL. It's always important to stop and reflect and do a stock take on how life is. As this is the last Jesus is for 2019, after all the Jesus is, and once again, if you can draw your eyes to the board, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the answer, Jesus is merciful, he's the cornerstone, Jesus is sufficient, he's the lover of my soul, and on and on and on. There have been so many amazing messages around the Jesus Is theme, and I thought it would be fitting today to finish the year on the Jesus Is the centre. Colossians 1:15-17 goes like this. He is the exact living image. Just take this in as we read it. Just take this in. He is. You know, this was written after Jesus' death. So it's not he was, he is the exact living image. And as it was then when it was written, it is the same today. He's the exact living image, the essential manifestation of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible, the firstborn, the preeminent one, the sovereign and the originator of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created and exist through him, that is, by his activity and for him. And he himself existed and is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus is the centre. And whether you believe that Jesus is the centre, and for those who might be outside these walls this morning and have had no contact with Jesus, whether they believe it or not, whether they believe it doesn't determine whether he is the centre. He is the centre. He is the centre of all. So let me ask you a question today. Is Jesus the center of your life? Just reflect on it for a minute. Is Jesus the center of your life? Maybe let me word it a little bit differently. Does your life, as you stocktake at this time of the year, does your life revolve around Jesus? Or Jesus and what he wants to do? Or do you just try and have him revolve around you and your schedule and fit him in when you can? Is Jesus the center of your life? This is the stock take today. A stock take is when you count the stock to see if it matches what the inventory says. Now, I don't know whether anyone's ever done a stock take. How many people raise their hands? How many people have done a stock take before? How much fun is a stock take? Most of you would know here that I work at Bunnings. Okay, the best stock take aisles, fortunately, that I've never done is the screws and nuts and bolts aisles at Bunnings. They are the best. The worst I've done, I'm from the paint area, but I had to do some counting and electrical one day, and it was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare. And I remember the last time I did a count in paint, I had to count the little wooden numbers and letters, and they were just a pain in the... Yeah. And I just remember it wasn't just counting them, because they all look so similar and in size, you had to take the wrong letters and put them in the right spot, and it was all over the place. There was letters mixed up with numbers, and I've never taken so long to do a count in all my life. But you know, when we look at that, and we look at it's got to match what the inventory says, it can be out at times. And you know, there's parts and areas, you know, in the stores that I've counted, there's parts and areas where you know there's going to be a certain area that the count is going to be out. And it could be because items have been broken. It could be because the delivery information has been wrong. It could be because things get stolen. And it could be because stock just gets plain out of control. And sometimes it's kind of like when we stock take. Sometimes things get stolen from us. Sometimes the message doesn't quite get through properly. You know, sometimes it could be just because life gets out of control. So today's stock take might help me. And as I ask questions in a minute, it's not because it's just about you. This stock take's as much for me as it is for anyone else. So I do this in reflection for myself as well. So when I ask the questions, don't think I'm pointing the finger. Don't take it personally. It might help us to see Jesus centered in our life if he's not. So we're going to very quickly look at five different areas relevant to most of us, if not all of us, but most of us, not all of us. I will ask a couple of questions and we'll look at what the Word says about these areas. And remember the Word, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the center. He is the Word. And so the five areas are number one, time. Number two is money and stuff. That's the Greek word for things. Number three is work. Number four, relationships and friendships. And number five, family. And as I do this, it may be that you get one question that I ask and you might go, that is the question I need to ask today. You might get more questions. But as we go through these, we're going to go through very quickly. I'm conscious of time and that we're on holidays, but it's important that we take a stock take of where things are at coming up to the end of this year. So the first one is time. Let's have a look at what the word says about time. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 2 and 17 says, there is a season, a time appointed for everything and a time for every delight and event or purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. I said myself, God will judge both the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time appointed for every matter and for every deed. As we go on to the next scriptures, Psalm 90:12 says, so teach us to number our days, that we may cultivate and bring to you a heart of wisdom. And let's read James. I love this scripture in James. James 4, 13 to 15. Come now and pay attention to this. You who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and carry on our business and make a profit. Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen in your life tomorrow, what is secure in your life. You are merely a vapor, like a puff of smoke or a wisp of steam from a cooking pot. That's nice to know. That is visible for a little while and then vanishes into thin air. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and we will do this or do that. So the questions that I have around time are, how much of your time is wasted? Are you rushed? I'll just sit on these for a little bit. You can write them down if you want, or you can just go, that's relevant to me. Do you allow time for rest? How much one-on-one time do you spend with God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? You know, we spend most time doing, what we spend most time doing shows us what our priorities are. What are your priorities? It's important to ask these questions and take time to do that. The second one is money and stuff. Ecclesiastes 1, 5:10-11 says, anyone who loves money never has enough. Anyone who loves wealth is never satisfied with what they get. That doesn't have any meaning either. As more and more goods are made, more and more people use them up. So how can those goods benefit their owners? All they can do is look at them with desire. That particular scripture was written a long time ago. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This scripture wasn't written yesterday. How relevant is that? That is just so relevant. Some things never change. And Matthew 6, 19 to 20, and you've probably heard this before. Do not gather for yourself riches on earth. Moths and rats can destroy them. Thieves can break in and steal them. Instead, gather for yourselves riches in heaven. Jesus is the center. Their moths and rats do not destroy them. Their thieves do not break in and steal them. Two quick questions about this, and one of them is a question that Matt asked earlier in the year, which I love the question. Does money own you? Does money own you? Is it your God? Or is it intended for the purposes that God wills it to be used? Just think about that. Does money own you? Number three, work. This is fun, isn't it? These are just great things to reflect on, aren't they? Colossians 3:23, work at everything you do with all your heart. Work as if you are working for the Lord, not for human masters. Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the negligent and the lazy will be put to forced labour. Some questions about working. These are fun questions too. Why do we work? Why do you work? Are you working where you are working just because of the money? Why do you do or do, why do we do what we do? I need to stop here and just ask. There's a couple of people here today and God is calling you into ministry. And you are not doing what you're called to do. It's fine, it's good, it's okay. I didn't have this written down, but I've really been prompted. Today's the day as you take a stock take to make the decision. Doesn't mean it might change overnight, to make the decision to go down the path that you know God has been calling you to do. I did a message earlier in the year called Jesus is knocking at the door. He's knocking today. You know if it's you. I don't have to point anyone out. You know if it's you. It's time to start putting things in place to see that outworked. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about ministry in the terms of upfront speaking ministry or necessarily anything particular, but you know what God has called you to do. Why do we do what we do? Do you work too much? How is your attitude at work? Well, these are great, aren't they? Do you complain about work? Do you complain or criticise your boss? Thanks, Graham, for all the years that you've sowed into my life. Look forward to it, Andy. Do you work as though Jesus is your boss? He's the centre, remember. I'll leave those with you. Number four, relationships and friendships. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks as a companion with wise men will be wise, but the companions of conceited, dull-witted fools are fools themselves and will experience harm." Hebrews 10:24-25 and says, "And let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching." Are there relationships in your life that need cutting off? Because they're causing you harm and those around you harm. You know, and we've spoken about this many times, I know I have. In your life, there should be three levels of relationship that you kind of have. You have one that you sow into people, one that people sow into you, and lastly, one that you can just look eye to eye and have accountability with, that, but you know, kind of mate to mate at the same sort of level. Do you have that set in your life? Do you have someone who can sow into your life? Do you open up your life for someone to speak into it, even if the truth hurts? It's important to have that, you know. Do you have someone that you can speak into their life? As long as it's positive, of course. And have you got someone who can, and you know, sometimes those cross over a little bit, but have you got someone who you're a mate with that, you know, and that may be a husband or a wife, and that's okay. But it's important to have those things. Just lost my spot. Do these relationships bring out the best in you? Do they bring out the best in the other person when you're in relationship with them? They're really important questions. Do you bring out the best in them? You know, the Bible, and I didn't have this scripture, that the Bible talks about don't be unequally yoked. That's not just about marriage. It's about your friendships as well. It's about your work colleagues as well. Equal yoking is very important, and it can save you a lot of grief. I've seen people who are Christians who get unequally yoked in many areas of their life, and whether it be a friendship or a work situation, and it does cause them a lot of grief. Remember, God doesn't put stuff in the Word because it's for our pain, but it's for our gain. He wants us to have the best life, and it matters what He says. Relationships and friendships are what life's about. So get Jesus at the centre of what yours are, and it'll make a big difference in your life. Number five, family. Ephesians 5:25. I've only gone down the men part because that's not my job to deal with the rest. But husbands, love your wives. Seek the highest good for her and surround her with a caring, unselfish love, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Let me just read that again. This is for husbands today. I've been very specific. How many husbands have we got here? Hands up. Don't hide. This is for all you guys. Okay, husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Let's get a bit brutal here. What did Christ do for the church? He got beaten. He got whipped. He got falsely accused. And there's probably men sitting there going, oh man, I get falsely accused all the time at home. You've got to deal with that. And he was hung on a cross to die. I'm afraid, and we're seeing a kickback now in society, but I'm afraid over the years, society hasn't shown husbands how to be real husbands. It's really important in the family structure. It's really important. It's not a guilt trip. This is a stock take. Jesus at the centre. We all make mistakes. This is what the Word says. Jesus at the centre. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing graciously with one another and willingly forgiving each other. And it's a great message on forgiveness. Forgiving each other if one has cause for complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you should forgive, or so should you forgive. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, these commandments that I give you today, and this is for parents here, these commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. I love Peter Harris, and I love what the children's ministry do and what the youth ministry do at this church. But it's not purely their job to raise children. The Word clearly states here, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. It's important that we all engage in that process. Joshua 24:15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Are your family a priority? That's the question, the first question I have. Are they a priority? Remember, I asked the question earlier and just said the time you spend most things doing show you where your priorities lie. This is much as much about asking me the question it is for all of you. Do you live in peace at home? Is your home a home of peace? I'm not saying that you won't have disagreements, because that happens. I know it sure happens in our house. And lastly, are you one person in public and another at home with the family? Jesus needs to be the centre of our life. And I want to finish with this. Can we have the team up, Andy, just to finish with the last song if we can? Proverbs 16, verse 3. And I want this to be for all of us today. As much as I've asked a lot of questions, I want, this is really important that this is for all of us today. It's the Amplified Version. I love the Amplified Version. Commit your works to the Lord. Submit and trust them to Him, and your plans will succeed if you respond to His will and guidance. Jesus is the centre. Will you allow Him to be the centre of your life?